I have a loud voice. Maybe we can turn it down a bit. Jai Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Jai Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivaran Hari. Jai Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivaran Hari. Yashoda Nandana Bhaja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Bhaja Jana Ranjana. Jamuna Tira Manachari. Jamuna Tira Manachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Jai Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Jai Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Jai Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Jai Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Jai Mr. Pad, Paramahansa Buddhacharya, Ashtotirtha Shri Srimad, His Divine Grace, Shri A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai. ISKCON BBT Foundara Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Jai Om Vishnupada Paramahansa Parivritika Acharya Ashtotirtha Sri Srimad's Divine Grace Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Ki Jai. Ananda Koti Vaishnavinda Ki Jai. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai. Samaveta Bhaktavrinda Ki Jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. On this 21st day of December 2012 in Chicago, we are reading from the Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. And we are in Chapter 5 entitled Karma Yoga, Action in Krishna Consciousness. And we are reading today from Text 18. Text 18. Some of you may know this verse. Vidya Vinaya Sampane Brahmane Gavihastini Shuni Chayava Shrapakecha Pandita Samadarshinaha Vidya Vinaya Sampane Brahmane Gavihastini Shuni Chayava Shrapakecha Pandita Samadarshinaha. Can we get these lights on too? Is it possible? Oh, okay. All right. Word by word meanings. Vidya, with education. Vinaya, and gentleness. Sampane, fully equipped. Brahmane, in the Brahman. Gavi, in the cow. Hastini, in the elephant. Shuni, in the dog. Cha, and. Eva, certainly. Shrapake, in the dog eater, the outcast. Cha, respectively. Panditaha, those who are wise. Samadarshinaha, who see with equal vision. Translation: the humble sages, by virtue of true knowledge, see with equal vision a learned and gentle Brahman, a cow, an elephant, a dog, and a dog-eater or outcast. See the Prabhupada's purport. A Krishna-conscious person does not make any distinction between species or castes. The Brahman and the outcast may be different from the social point of view, or a dog, a cow, and an elephant may be different from the point of view of species. But these differences of body are meaningless from the viewpoint of a learned transcendentalist. This is due to their relationship to the Supreme, for the Supreme Lord, by His plenary portion as the Paramatma, is present in everyone's heart. Such an understanding of the Supreme is real knowledge. As far as the bodies are concerned in different castes or different species of life, the Lord is equally kind to everyone because He treats every living being as a friend, yet maintains Himself as Paramatma regardless of the circumstances of the living entities. The Lord as Paramatma is present both in the outcast and in the Brahman, although the body of a Brahman and that of an outcast are not the same. The bodies are material productions of different modes of material nature. But the soul and the supersoul within the body are of the same spiritual quality.
The similarity in the quality of the soul and the super soul, however, does not make them equal in quantity. For the individual soul is present only in that particular body, whereas the Paramatma is present in each and every body. A Krishna-conscious person has full knowledge of this, and therefore he is truly learned and has equal vision. These similar characteristics of the soul and the supersoul are that they are both conscious, eternal, and blissful. But the difference is that the individual soul is conscious within the limited jurisdiction of the body, whereas the supersoul is conscious of all bodies. The supersoul is present in all bodies without distinction. Om Agyana Tamarandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshu Unmiditam Mena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance. My spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my humble obeisances unto him and all members of Sri Parampara. So this verse speaks about the vision or the way in which a devotee, a learned devotee, sees. And particularly seeing the spirit within. This individual spirit and the supreme spirit. Every living entity sees the world according to his mentality or intelligence. The animals, they also have a certain intelligence, more rudimentary than ours, much more rudimentary. And they see the world in that way. A tiger in the forest is not going to appreciate, you know, the wonderful atmosphere and the fragrance of the flowers and all of these different things. He's just seeing where is the prey, right? He's looking for that. Prabhupada gives the example of the vulture. The vulture has the extremely accurate, acute eyesight. Prabhupada says he can go 5 miles high. Anyway, he can go very, very high in the sky and see down where there's a little animal that's died. And then he comes down and eats. You know. So he makes the example, well, we cannot do that. We don't have that kind of vision. We can't fly in the sky. But after all, what's the purpose of this power? What is the end result of all of this siddhi, if you will, this power? Simply so he can see a dead animal and eat, you see? So every person, human being now, also has a certain philosophy of life, a way of seeing. And according to the knowledge that we acquire, the upbringing, those who train us, our exposure to the different modes of nature, we'll have a certain way of seeing ourselves and the world and our relation to it. Isn't it? You see, many, many people in this world, like Prabhupada talks about nationalism, right? Nationalism, that's mentioned in the Bhagavatam, where Krishna is condemning the bodily concept of life. Yasyatva buddhi kunabeti data ge swadhi kalatrasura bhoma ijidi. So this bhoma ijidi is the worship of the land that you've been born in. That's nationalism. But what does Krishna say about someone who has this mentality? He has the mentality of a cow or an ass. Or another way of understanding that gokhara is the ass that carries the straw for the cow to eat. That way you don't have to think bad about the cows. But in any way, it's not a very good mentality. So one who identifies with the body as the self, yasyatma buddhi. See, the word buddhi means having a certain mentality in this context. After all, what is the body? I mean, it doesn't take a genius to see the body is, by its nature, just a bag that's held upright through some bones, and inside there are all kinds of unmentionable substances. There's all kinds of liquids and solids that you don't even want to think about. That's the body. Is that what we are? Do I consider myself a bag of blood and pus? Blood and pus? No, none of us thinks of us that way. We're persons, right? So, but yet, we still, amazingly, we identify with the body as ourself. This is what it means to have the false ego, the false sense of self. So in that verse, Krishna condemns that understanding. And here he's saying how one who acquires knowledge, because these verses are all about one who is in knowledge. one achieves that knowledge if he's dedicated to it, right? Jnana nidu to kalmasha. Such knowledge is washing away, transcendental knowledge, washing away the impurities in the heart and in the intelligence so that one can see things as they are. Isn't it? As they are. And this idea of attaining the vision, transcendental vision, is extrapolated upon in the 13th chapter, where Krishna is expounding on what is the chaitra and chaitragya. What is the body itself, which is the field of activity, and who is the knower of the field? And who is the other knower in the field? He claims that he's also, as a super soul, the super knower in the field. And he also, Arjuna wanted to know, what is knowledge and the object of knowledge? Right? Again, this idea of knowledge comes in. And Krishna gives a whole list there, the most essential of which is to be an unalloyed devotee of the Lord. But there are many important elements. And discriminate. And you understand, let's go out and chant Hare Krishna. That's one main aspect of Sankirtan. We'll go out and chant. And we know from the Shastra, from Lord Chaitanya's activities, from Haridas Thakur, that even the plants and the animals that here will be benefited. What to speak of the human beings, right? It doesn't matter. We don't, if you go downtown Chicago, we go downtown San Diego, all kinds of people who come in contact there, black and white, old and young, different races, there's homeless people and everything. It's, Vijayate Shri Krishna Sankirtan. It's for everybody, right? And because you're feeling that, we're just giving out, we're the agents by which the Lord can propagate his holy name, then you actually can see. It's not that you're only chanting for the rich people. You're chanting for everybody. And the whole process of Sankirtan is that it's just like, Johnny Appleseed. Have you ever heard of Johnny Appleseed? A lot of the apples, where apples are grown in America, basically the Northwest and also Northern New York State. This was a fellow who in the early 19th century, I think, he more or less took sannyas. His wife died, and he just left. And he had this bag with apple seeds, and he wanted to do good, just like it says in the Bhagavad Gita. This is a charitable thing, to plant fruit trees, right? So he had that idea. I don't know where he picked it up, from the Bible or somewhere, And he went off, and he just started scattering these seeds where he thought maybe they might grow. So he came from the Northeast, I forget, from Massachusetts. So he went through New York, and sure enough, they took root in a whole lot of orchards up there. And he kept going all across the country. And the other place where it really took root was in the Northwest, in like Washington, everywhere, So Krishna consciousness is like that, preaching. You're handing out so many books. We're handing out, giving out so many names, mantra cards, inviting everyone to the feast, the festivals. Anyone can come, right? Rath Yatra, whatever. And you don't discriminate. And you're trying to plant those seeds, just like this Lord Chaitanya describes in chapter 19 of the Madhya Lila, in his teachings to Rupa Goswami. The famous verse, Brahmanda Brahmande Kom Bhagyavan Jeev Guru Krishna Basare Bhai Bhakti Lata Bij. A bij is a seed. So the meaning is that we're wandering, Brahmanda, throughout the different universes, or the different parts of the universe, up in planets, lower planets, on Earth, different species. We've been doing it for countless eons. And the fortunate soul contacts the guru to give Krishna. By the mercy of the guru, one gets Krishna. By the mercy of Krishna, one gets guru. And both of them together plant that seed. Guru Krishna Basare Pai Bhakti Lata Bija. Now, what is that seed? That seed, it takes the form of instructions. It takes the form of the holy name. In other words, we hear so many things, or you come in contact. Whether your heart is fertile ground for that seed to fructify or begin growing into the bhakti lata, the creeper of devotion, that's due to maybe some agyata sukriti in a previous life or whatever. Not everybody is receptive, obviously. But the fortunate ones who are, that's the ones that they're looking for. Just like in the Bible, Jesus said, go and become fishers of men, right? Was it Peter? The fisher. He was a fisherman. He said, now you become a fisher of men. In other words, try to preach and bring people into God consciousness. So the same thing is there. That's an important way of seeing equally everyone. Who knows who can be a candidate? Book distribution tales abound with those who would have ever dreamed, you know? I helped Vijay Prabhu, who's the book distribution minister. I've been editing some of his little vignettes that are sent to him all the time. And was it in India? Maybe it was in India, because, you know, in India there are places where they slaughter cows and everything. So this one devotee was wandering, and then he came into a quarter and said, "Oh my God, it's, you know, there's meat hanging everywhere. Should I get out of here?" He said, "No, maybe some of these people." And sure enough, some of them took books. They were favorable. You know, whether they're actually become devotees or not is another thing. But you can never know who's actually a good candidate. So this is an important way of actualizing this view that of universality. And at the same time, devotees are known for that. We wouldn't even harm an ant unnecessarily now, right? The famous story of Magari, right? Magari was a hunter. And, you know, he didn't empathize with the animals. He was hard-hearted. And he's half-killing the animals so that when he comes back after half a day of killing, they'll be fresh. I guess that was the reason, you know. That was the mentality. So so Narada comes along, and he's going through the forest, and he sees, you know, his heart goes out. Here's these animals writhing in agony on the forest floor. And he finally comes to Magari and says, "Are you responsible for this?" "Yes. My father trained me in this technique, you know." So Narada, first he just says, "Well, look, okay, I understand this is your dharma, you know, but at least just kill him outright, you know." And the Magari protests. So Narada shows him with his mystic power that in his, you know, after death he's going to suffer so much. These animals, the souls in the subtle body, they're waiting for him. They're going to torment him. This is karma. What goes around comes around. You know? So Magari is taken aback. He's respectful to Narada, and this vision, you know, freaks him out a little bit. So he says, "How can I be saved? Please save me." He says, "Okay, I can save you, but you have to follow my orders." What's that? Break the bow. So this is a moment of truth, right? He's got to trust Narada, because that's his livelihood, you know, that trust that Narada will maintain. So being intelligent, you know, being receptive, he breaks the bow. And Narada initiates him. He says, "If you follow my orders, you won't suffer any of these sinful reactions. You'll be free." So you go and you give everything away to the Brahmins. And you and your wife just sit in the cottage and chant Hare Krishna, plant a Tulsi tree, and I will provide everything for you. You know? So Magari, he humbly follows the instructions. And sure enough, he becomes such a famous Vaishnav that people are bringing bags of rice and grain and vegetables, more than he can possibly eat. So he's being maintained. So then after some time, Narada comes back with Parvat Muni to show his disciple. And Magari sees him coming from a distance, so he gets up. He's ecstatic to see his Gurudev, and he comes out of the cottage, but he sees on the path, oh, there's some ants. And so he takes his shawl and he whips away the ant. Then he offers his dandavat, you know. So this, see the contrast, you see. So now he's a Vaishnav, and his heart has been softened. There's a transformation that's taken place. So that transformation is one of the hallmarks of a real devotee, is that he acts differently in society, and he has a whole different outlook on life, a whole different philosophy of life. And he's being transformed by the process of Krishna consciousness. So one of them is this here of seeing the Lord and seeing the soul within everyone and relating to everyone as a spirit soul, not as a body. You know, that's, Prabhupada explained, like, it's no mystery. This nationalism or, you know, tribalism, my tribe, my ethnicity, this is what, this is where I'm loyal. Everyone else can go to hell. Look at the Middle East. You know, the Palestinians and the Jews, they look alike. You know, but because there's some difference in ethnicity or whatever, there's war going on for like forever. You know, So this is exactly what this verse is speaking about. This is ignorance. Real knowledge is to see the Spirit, that we're all one as Spirit. We're all children of God, and we should all be given a chance to live and live out our lives, and if possible, become Krishna conscious and escape from the round of birth and death. This is the vision of a real devotee. Okay, any discussion on this verse, or we can go on to the next verse? Yes, Prabhu.
See, they're all jivas,
right?
And tattva, but in terms of his dealings with different souls, it seems that it's going to be quite variegated.
Yes,
and like the rasa will be different, although he can see the tattva as one. So I was wondering, the question is how to reconcile this statement of oneness and at the same time variegatedness in the actual relationships.
Yeah, that's explained. You know, Prabhupada quotes the verse from the 11th canto about how the Madhyama Adhikari, you know, the Madhyama Adhikari sees four categories of beings, you know. He says, Ishade tadarineshu, bhadisheshu dushatshucha, prema maitri kripopeksha, yakarodi samadhyama. And we're encouraged to come to this Madhyama platform. So what is that? He sees the Lord, Ishade. And each different category of being, he relates differently. For the Lord, we try to develop love. Prema. You try to develop loving devotion to the Lord. To those who are in relation to the Lord, the devotees, friendship. To the innocent, those who may be receptive, who are an out-and-out demons, we try to show compassion by giving them Krishna consciousness. And to the inimical, you neglect them. You try to avoid them. Now, there's a whole class of beings, you know, subhumans. How do you relate? So you don't do much more than just see them as such and try not to do any harm. And if possible, okay, we have this cat. I swear, this cat has been around for 23 years in San Diego. It comes every day. We give a little kheer. That kheer is sustaining that cat. He doesn't know much about Krishna, but he knows about Kier, you know, Maha Kier. So naturally, devotees will try to help the cat, you know. You see the equality, you try to understand, but you use your intelligence how to relate on a Krishna conscious platform. Prabhupada talks about that. You know, he says a tiger certainly has a super soul in his heart, but you're not going to go and embrace a tiger. That's foolishness. That's nonsense. So, on the other hand, you know, there's the Uttama Adhikari, explained in the verse before this one, Sarva Bhuteshu Pashyed Bhagavat Bhavam Atmanaha Bhutani Bhagavat Atman Esha Bhagavat Ottama, means that basically he sees God in everything and everything in God. He sees Krishna in everyone, and everyone in Krishna, and he sees everyone else as a devotee, but himself or herself. You know? Now, there's different ways of understanding that, but the way that it's often mentioned is that, well, in such a position, you can't preach because you're seeing everyone as a devotee. So the Uttama comes down to the Madhyama to make those distinctions so he can preach. And we see that, you know, the great devotees, they often enter into different states of consciousness in which they're relating differently. You know, we saw Prabhupada occasionally, and I've heard, you know, he would go into ecstasy and he would be in another world. He wouldn't be relating to us. You know, he would be absorbed in samadhi like you read in the books. But that was rare because he you know, we were all neophytes and still neophytes. So he's in the preaching mood and he's like he normally is. This is still early in the Bhagavad Gita. This is kind of basic understanding, beginning with on spirit soul, you know, and the spirit soul is equal in all of us. We're equal in quality to the Supreme, but not in quantity. You know, we can never become God. That's not our constitutional position. But we can become godly by learning this knowledge and living in the knowledge. So we have to, you know, use our intelligence, the discrimination, that yes, we see everyone as a spirit soul, but some spirit souls we avoid because they're inimical. You know? But we see, okay, you know, the super soul is giving that specific soul some intelligence, you know, to be inimical. That's what they wanted. Then they'll have to stay outside of devotional service. You know? But for ourselves, we cultivate good sangha, good association, to become strong so that we can be good media for projecting and extending Krishna's and Lord Chaitanya's mercy. Okay, I wanted to go on unless there are other questions. Let's go on to the next verse. This one's not so famous. See if you can repeat. Ihaivatar jitak sargo ye sham sam ye stitam manaha nirdosham hi samam brahma tasmad brahmanite stita. Those whose minds are established in sameness and equanimity have already conquered the conditions of birth and death. They are flawless like Brahman, and thus they are already situated in Brahman. Purport. Equanimity of mind, as mentioned above, is the sign of self-realization. Those who have actually attained to such a stage should be considered to have conquered material conditions, specifically birth and death. As long as one identifies with this body, he is considered a conditioned soul. But as soon as he is elevated to the stage of equanimity through realization of self, he is liberated from conditional life. In other words, he is no longer subject to taking birth in the material world, but can enter into the spiritual sky after his death. The Lord is flawless because he is without attraction or hatred. Similarly, when a living entity is without attraction or hatred, he also becomes flawless and eligible to enter into the spiritual sky. Such persons are to be considered already liberated, and their symptoms are described below. So this is a theme in the Bhagavad Gita. This is really a theme in the Bhagavad Gita. You begin in chapter 2, and Arjuna is curious about what Krishna describes as someone who is a sage of steady mind, you know, pragya pratishtita, right? And then he has a whole section in there, which is the same idea, that dukeshvano dvignamana sukeshu vikataspaha vitaraga bhaya krodas tatadhyamana ruchate. This is one of the verses in the series. And right there you have this idea of your mind is not disturbed when there are disturbing elements. Dukesh anudvignamana. That the mind is not udvigna. Udvigna means disturbed mind. And sukeshu, the same thing, vigatasparha. You don't lose your composure and when there's some happiness or some temptation. Equipoise. And it's this phrase which comes up again and again in the Gita, vitaraga bhaya krodha. This is the first instance. Giving up attachment, fear, and anger. Well, how can you give up attachment, fear, and anger if you're on the bodily concept of life? You see, you can't. Because attachment, the senses are by nature attracted to certain objects. And when that body, which is our source of identity and pleasure, is threatened, then that's a source of fear. When your desires are thwarted, that's a source of anger. You see? So all in this, when you're in the bodily concept, means in the modes of nature, modes of passion, you have to be being whipped around by dukkha and sukha, by attachment and repulsion, by anger and hatred and fear. Shishi Kishore Kishore Ki Jai, Shishi Gornatai Ki Jai, Jagannath Balabhi Subhadraji. So in a sign of transcendence or Brahma-Bhuta existence, above the modes of nature, is this equipoise. Now at the very beginning of chapter 2, practically the first instruction, is that if you want liberation, you have to become tolerant. You have to tolerate these dualities. Remember that? He says, Mato sparshas to Konteya. This was one of the first verses I ever learned. Because like on day 3, I was walking to the press building in Brooklyn. you know, in the old Brooklyn Temple, we had the temple on Henry Street, and then we had the press where we put out the books, and we stored the book warehouse on Tiffany Place. And I joined in early March, and it was cold, it was freezing, you know. And I'm walking there in my dhoti, and I remember this verse I just read, Matra Sparshastra Kunteya, Shitoshna Sukadukada, Agama Paino Nityas, Tamstitiksha Sabharat. You know, Krishna's saying, yes, the contact of the senses with the sense objects inevitably produce cold and heat and happiness and distress, but they come and go. So try to tolerate. You must tolerate, right? So I took some strength from that, and I got to the destination, and I said, okay, I'm a realized soul now. You know, this is the bhakta. So, but the very next verse is what I was thinking of, is that if you want liberation, you have to learn to tolerate these. You have to be beyond disturbance. Yam hi navadiyante te purusham purushashaba samadukha sukham dhiram so amritatvaya kalpite. Amritatva is liberation. Means deathlessness, right? That's liberation from birth and death. So he says, for that soul, that purusha, or best of the purushas, the purushashaba, he's speaking to Arjuna, encouraging him, who samadukha sukham dhiram, who are equipoised and happiest in distress, they alone are eligible for liberation. You see. So right at the beginning, Krishna is encouraging this, attaining this equipoise, and it comes up again and again. Chapter 14, what is the symptoms of one who's transcended the modes of nature? You know, there's a whole list there, but the one word you can remember is tulya. To, you know, being equal to those who praise you and those who insult you. You know, to gold and a stone, you know. All of the things that people are living in the dualities. If someone insults you on the street, you know, people will go to fight or kill, you know. Gold and stone, oh, they'll die for the gold and forget the stone, right? But the devotees are, you know. In other words, to be situated in Krishna consciousness means to see this world as just like this roiling ocean and what it is. Sometimes it's very placid and you can go smoothly on the ocean. Sometimes the waves come. But either way, it's the ocean, you know. And see that it's just a temporary condition for the body. It's likened unto a dream, you know, this material life. And the illusion is that this dream-like world is so important. This is illusion. That people put great importance on that which ultimately has no importance. And they forget or even don't even inquire into the most important thing, which is the science of bhakti. So those of us who are fortunate enough to be interested and to be faithful to whatever degree we are, need to cultivate more and more that interest and that eagerness to understand Krishna, to serve Krishna. And in this way, the happiness and distress and dualities that come inevitably from living in this world won't disturb us so much. They won't. Inevitably they come, but they won't disturb the mind. This is explained by Kapila Dev. I don't know if I mentioned this last year. This Sadhu Sangashtika, did I talk about that? 8 verses about Sadhu Sangha. Maybe I'll share it with you later if I have opportunity. So he's speaking to his mother. Now his mother, Devahuti, she takes the role of a conditioned soul, right? And she approaches her son after Kardamuni has gone, you know, so she's left there with the son. All of the daughters have been married off, right? He gave all the daughters to the different sages, after all, he's Prajapati. So now he leaves and takes sannyas. So now what? She just has her son. Of course, her son is Kapiladeva, so she's very fortunate. And she approaches him as a neophyte devotee for us. He says, oh, my senses are giving me so much trouble. You know, I'm suffering so much. Please, you are the light of my life. You are the axe that cut down the tree of birth and death. Please enlighten me, right? So she's presenting like this. So his first instruction is in the importance of good association. And he has this, anyway, many of you didn't hear this yet, so I'll go through it. It's very wonderful, this 8 verses on good association, on, you know. So he begins with this verse, prasangam madadam pasham, atmana kavayo vidu. Sayeshu sadashukato mokshadvadam apavatam. That this word prasanga is important. Prasanga means very strong attachment. Now, it's interesting that the word sangha means both attachment and association. That's because whatever you associate with, you become attached. Sangat sanjayate kama, Krishna says in the Gita, right? So you're in a certain atmosphere, and you get into that atmosphere. I like to point out in San Diego, the temple is about 100 feet from a bar, you know? So the Australian pub, it's called. So the temple is there, and, you know, people come from all over and come to the temple like they do here. And people come from all over and go to the bar also. So it's a whole different mentality. The people who go to the temple will never go to the bar, and the people who go to the bar will never go to the temple. So they get a certain association in the bar, and that increases the mode of ignorance, and, you know, they're in that mode. And in the temple, you know, we get good association, transcendental association, we have a certain mentality. So by repeated birth in the material world, in body after body, you're developing all manner of attachments. So this is called prasangam madaram pasham. These are like ropes, very strong ropes, binding us to this world. The soul. Mundane affection keeps us tied to birth and death. Hare Krishna, Hare Bo. He gives the quality. The first one is tolerance, tatikshava, and mercy. Now, they go together. It's easy to be tolerant if you just stay at home. You never expose yourself to any disturbing qualities. Oh, I'm so tolerant. Turn up the thermostat a little bit, right? But to go out and be a preacher of Krishna consciousness, that's where you really need to be. Tolerant. So Prabhupada makes this point in the purport that, you know, those who are, you know, trying to spread Krishna consciousness, you have to tolerate so much as Prabhupada did, and he expected us to do also. And you become stronger by that. So tatikshiva karina, sudidaksava dehinam, the friend of all living entities. Exactly, vidyavinaya sampane. And your jata shatava, this is like a Sanskrit idiom that your enemy is never born. Yudhisthira was known for that. Even though he's on the battlefield, he had no enmity toward those who had enmity toward him. You know, that was one of his qualities. Of course, he fought fully, but then at the end, you know how he felt so bad. Everyone was so killed. You know, he was killed on his. So ajata shatava, you have no enmity, even though others may hate you. And shanta, very peaceful. Because of all these qualities, you can be very peaceful. Sadhavak, sadhabhushan, these are the ornaments of a sadhu when he follows the scriptures. Now, it's interesting, he doesn't mention anything about devotion there. That's in the next verse. Kapiladev speaking, it's Krishna. Mayananyena bhavena madbhaktim. Mayananyena bhavena bhaktim kurvanti ye dridham. Matkate chakta karmanas. Matkate chakta karmanas chakta swajana bandhava. So he's saying, okay, here's another quality, essential quality, is that very determined, one-pointed, pure devotion to me. That's a real sadhu. My ananyena bhavena, without any other, you know, deviation. And the evidence of their determination is that for my sake, they'll give up any activity that they might be doing that is against devotion. And even give up materialistic association, friends and family that are impeding devotional service. You know, that's also there, as he mentions it. Now, okay, this is all negative. What do they do? You know, he's still describing the sadhu. Marashriya katamrishta shinvandi katayanti cha tapandi vivadastapan naitan mankata chetasa. Now here is why I thought of this, because he's talking about the sufferings of this world. He says they're always hearing and chanting. Madashriya. Madashriya, those who take shelter of me, or as Prabhupada says, those topics which take shelter of me. In other words, they're hearing and chanting topics about me, which are very mrishta, very delightful to the mind. Shunvanti katayanti cha. And because of that absorption, tapanti vivarastapan naitan mangata chetasa, their minds have gone to me, they're absorbed in me, and they don't feel the threefold misery so much. You know, that was one of his mother's questions. Oh, I'm suffering so much. So this is the remedy. You see? In other words, it becomes easier to live in this world like that, you know. Then he goes on, because it's a wonderful section. And he encourages his mother. He says, Taeshu sadavak sadvi sarva sangha vivarjata sangha steshvatate prata sangha dosha harahite. So the word sangha is there three or four times. So that these are the sadhus you have to search out, O sadvi. So it's a play on words. Sadvi is female form for sadhu, right? So his mother is already a sadhu. So he calls her sadvi. So it's understood she's already a pure devotee. But he's encouraging, oh mother, these are the sadhus you need to search out. Who are sangha dosha hara, sarva sangha vivarjita, who are free of material attachments. Search them out and you'll become free. Sangha dosha harahide. By their association, you'll be free of the faults that have come from your previous bad association. You see? Because this is what the living entity goes through. We've been associated with material energy to time immemorial, and we have all these faults. In other words, our ignorance, our suffering, our illusion, everything is due to bad association, if you can look at it that way. Now, what's interesting, and Prabhupada mentions in the purport, that this relates to chapter 15, text 5, I think it is, where Krishna gives the process of surrender, nirmana moha, jita sangha dosha, conquering over bad association, the faults of bad association. So this is how to do it, by associating with sadhus, with great devotees. Now, of course, it's not always possible to find them personally, very rare, but they leave, you know, way, media by which we can associate. Prabhupada's books, as soon as you open Prabhupada's books, you're associating with Prabhupada. This is it. And you're experiencing what Kapila Dev mentions here. So he's encouraging his mother, and then comes this verse, which we should all know. Satam prasangan mamavirya sambido bhavanti ritkan ar sahina katha chanjoshanara shvabhavarga vartmani shadha rati bhakti anukamishyati. Prabhupada quoted this all the time. So you may have noticed, maybe not, but in this verse, in the first line, the word prasanga is there again. Satam prasangan, you see? So now we've taken the strong attachment of the material things from the first verse, which are like ropes, and we've transferred, if you follow the instructions, to the satams, the sadhus, the devotees. And so by that association, what's the result? You'll hear conversations and glorification of me. This Kapila Dev speaking, he's an incarnation of Krishna. Mama virya sambido, my powerful activities. And that vibration produces bhavanti ritkana rasayana kata. That sound vibration is like a life-giving elixir for the heart and the ear and the mind. Bhavanti ritkarna rasayana. So for the heart and for the ear, it's just rasayana, which is like this elixir. And furthermore, what is it? Tadjoshanat ashu abhavargavartmani shudharati bhaktaranukamisati. So following this path very quickly, this path of liberation, abhavargavartmani, one will develop shraddha, rati, and bhakti. The faith increases. This is where the faith comes. It's as simple as pie. By associating with the faithful, with those who are nishta, those who are certain, have no doubts, then you associate with them, your doubts will also be dissipated. So shraddha, and then attraction to Krishna, and then genuine bhakti, you know, will develop. So that's number six. I'll give you the last two. So what's the wonderful blessings of this, you know, following this path of associate? So he says, bhaktya paman jata viraga aindriya drishta shrutan man vachananu chintiya chittasi yato ghane yoga yukto yatishyate vijubhi yoga margai. So Prabhupada focused, vijubhi, very easy, What's easier? Here you're all practicing great yoga. You're practicing the yoga. I'm speaking from the Gita, but basically we're just associated with Siddhanta Prasanga. So you sit at home and you bring out a Krishna book and you read about Krishna, you're practicing this yoga. So what's the result? He says, by this practice of bhakti, bhaktiya puman, jati viraga indriyat, you develop detachment. We sometimes forget how important that is. Without the viragya, we're coming back. Viragya has to develop as we progress in devotional service. That's a way of seeing if we're actually developing. The things that we were once into, we're no longer into, the material things. It doesn't interest us. You know, there may be some little interest, but it's easy to reject. Whereas before, oh, I got to do this, I got to do this, I got to have this, I got to have that. Isn't it? So that's his jata viraga indriyad, the sense pleasure. And then he analyzed drishta shrutan. So that which we have seen personally, or that we see in front of, and we've heard about the heavenly planets. In other words, we may hear, okay, I'm detached from this, I'm going to perform severe austerities, and then I'll go to heaven and enjoy. Right? No. That's also you're detached from. That is also a sky flower. That's like imaginary. You don't care. Madhrachanana chintaya, by thinking about my activities. In other words, absorbing ourselves in Krishna Leela and the holy name, service, all the things, you become detached. Chitta seyato guhane, by this, thus engaging the mind, fixing the mind on me. Yatishyate vijubir yoga marga, you practice this easy form of yoga. And then the final verse gives the final result. It says, Asevayayam prakate gunanam. Jnanena vairaga vijimbitena yogena maya pratyasya bhaktya mam pratyagatmanam ihaparunde. Thus, by not serving the motives of nature, asevayayam prakate gunanam, because of the strength you've developed of knowledge, jnanena and vairagya, developed a detachment in this way by associating with sadhus and being a devotee. And through yoga, through bhakti yoga, offering everything to me in devotion, yogena maya arpita yacha bhaktya, one will realize me, Kapila Dev, the Supreme Person, in his very birth. In other words, become fully self-realized, God-realized. So that's the sadhu sangha, sadhu sanghashtaka. I highly encourage to check it out. Wonderful purports. And of course, it's part of the teachings of Lord Kapila Dev. Prabhupada expounds on it in his wonderful lectures in 1974 in Bombay. Text 325, 20 through 27. You can check them out. Really wonderful lesson. So, this is one of the symptoms. Established in sameness and equanimity, they've conquered the conditions of birth and death. There you're liberated. If you have no more desires for things in this world, if you're completely absorbed in the Krishna consciousness, even though you may be battered around by the material energy a little bit, you're not coming back. You're going to go back home, back to God. That's the measure. So they've already achieved this flawless, like Brahman. They are already situated in Brahman. It's interesting, in this chapter 5, Krishna doesn't mention himself, you know, in this chapter until the very last line of the last verse. Gyatva mam shantam richati, the peace formula. It's all Brahman, Brahman Nirvana, you're going to hear about here. We understand that's Krishna consciousness, but it's interesting that that's what he speaks about until the final verse. Any comments or questions on this? Back to Luke, Hare Krishna. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Prabhu? Oh, what to do? I'll repeat the question. But do it loudly because my ears aren't what they used to be. Right. Yeah. That's essential. quality. That's explained in the the second chapter, first canto, these famous verses beginning with Savai Pung Sang Paro Dharma. You know, you find so much repetition because it's one philosophy, a slight variation. But there in that second chapter, it's described how Vairagya will develop naturally by bhakti, and describes the different aspects of the absolute truth and we should be inquire into. You know, Vedanti Tattva Vidas, Brahman Paramatma Bhagavan. And then he describes that one can achieve this realization through faith, Chodadana Muniyo Gyana Vairagya Yuktiya Pashan Jabani Chabani, and see the Lord within, you know, by faithfully following the process of bhakti. But really it comes down to developing, as it progresses there, developing, if we want to become absorbed in Krishna consciousness, we have to develop a taste for hearing. That's, especially in the modern age, that is the process. We're not going to sit there and just meditate and, you know, or any of the other processes. We need to hear the name, form, qualities of Krishna in all of these literatures. Well, how do we get that? That we have to hear from the right source, from the, you know, pure devotees or Krishna himself. So there's that verse, Shushu Shro Shadadhanasya Vasudeva Kataruchi. How do you get that attachment for hearing? Otherwise, you may be in association, in proximity, but you're not actually hearing. Or you're hearing with part of your mind, or you're doubting, and there's so much blockage. The mind is putting static in the way of the message. So he describes there that one gets that taste. Shushu Shoshana Vasudeva Kataruchi, the taste for hearing about Vasudeva Krishna. Sian Mahat Sevaya Vipram, by serving the great devotees, Mahatma, Sadhu, same idea, who are themselves places of pilgrimage, you see. So, we have to understand the importance of serving. We may not be such great hearers, but we can still do service. By service, service to the great souls, gradually that barrier, that false ego that is preventing us from hearing will be weakened or broken down, and we'll be more eager to hear. And so it's not an easy thing. You know, this very word is used at the second verse of the whole Bhagavatam, where it describes the glories of the Bhagavatam, Dharma Prochita Kaitavo, that in this Bhagavatam, there's no cheating religion. From the first verse, we're just talking about amala bhakti here. That's only engaged in for the purpose of pleasing the Lord. You know, no material motivations allowed. And it's explained, you know, that it's understandable by those who are pure in heart. It gives realization of the real thing, vastava vastu, the real substance that's searched for in all the Vedas. It's called the Srimad Bhagavatam, the beautiful story of Bhagavan, written by Vyasadeva. What more do you need? What more books do you need? And then he says, Ishvara sadyo ridyavadu jate chukutubi shushu shubi stakshanat. You see, that's the word shushu shubi. It's a different form of that same word, shushu shu. So this is Prabhupada's, what he's saying there is that Ishvara, the Lord, is immediately, quickly realized by those who hear this Bhagavatam with this shushusho attitude. Now, what is that? That's Prabhupada's famous submissive all reception. You know, that phrase, if you read the first canto, you'll come across that. That means with you know, one-pointed attention, with the intention of taking the instructions within and acting on them. That's this submissive all reception. Now, that's not an easy state to attain, but that's what's needed. So to whatever degree we can, you know, that's something that we can, you know, decide on. In other words, we have a certain amount of independence, what we want to, you know, hear and pour into our minds, you know. If we understand the importance of this, then we can try to develop that attitude through knowledge that, yes, I should hear this. This is what I should hear, and I should act on it. And gradually we'll come to that point. Because if we have that state, then everything opens up. That's the state of mind, that submissive oral reception, that the great souls are looking for. That opens up the floodgates of the knowledge. When Prabhupada began his movement, he didn't have facility, you know, to do that. You know, he could give a class at Dr. Mishra's place, you know, but it was full of people who weren't, you know, really revering him as much as Dr. Mishra and this and that. He tried his best, obviously. But then when he had his own place in 2nd Avenue, you know, you can hear it in his voice, you know, those early recordings. His voice is cracking. He's so eager to pour out the nectar. And it's described, anyone could go up to see Prabhupada, he would talk to him for hours, you know. And it describes he would be lying down sometimes and sleeping, still preaching, and preach himself to sleep, you know. So eager to pour that out because he found some willing ears, you know, because they were chanting. See, the chanting of the holy name opens everything up. Then suddenly, you know, Krishna from within starts taking more, you know, active role and making you interested in this whole subject matter because you're experiencing something, you know. Without the chant, if people don't come to the point of chanting, it's very difficult to, they may be interested for a while, but then off they go, you know, the mind gets something else and it's out, you know. But if you get someone, yeah, try a couple of rounds. Okay, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. Yeah, you know, now we'll stay for class. Oh, that's interesting. You know, I'm telling you, this is how it grows. So developing that attention and that, you know, that willingness to accept the message, that's the essence, and it can be developed by the process of devotion, but that shushusho attitude is what we're looking for. You want to say, JW? Yeah. We avoid them because they're inimical. Yeah, right. Right, we're doing them a favor by not keeping him at a distance. You know, in San Diego, we have what we call the crest test for whoever can actually come into the temple, what to speak of, live in the temple. You know what the crest test is? C-R-E-S-S. You have to meet a certain criteria. There's a certain bar. Clean, respectful, sane, and sober. If you don't come up on any one of those, you know, then you can't even come into the temple, what to speak of, stay in the temple. Think about it. The clean, respectful, sane, and sober, then, okay, come on in, take a little prasad, sit for class, whatever, you know. But you're right, that's an interesting thing. Because people who are not, you know, they won't benefit, they'll just make offense. Yeah. Yeah. At least 2 years, maybe 2.5 years now. Yes, it is. I'm not involved in it. Except as, you know, an interested observer. But it's an effort to, you know, contact people without the full-on Krishna consciousness, but people who are interested in those things, and it can bring them to the temple, especially to the lounge. You know, this lounge is Krishna Lounge. I might have had a different word for it, but it's called Krishna Lounge. And maybe it's a good idea, you know. And it's kind of on Devamrita Swami's program, of kind of loft preaching, where the atmosphere is not as, maybe as, you know, intimidating, you know, people walk in the temple and deities, you know. I mean, of course, we appreciate, but it's just people come and they, chanting is there, nice chanting, you know, a little light preaching, more chanting, nice prasadam, nice conversation. And a lot of people come there and they through because we have, you know, certain places like Ocean Beach where it's an old hippie hangout, you know, from the 60s. And it's still a place where a lot of people come who are looking for self-realization and stuff. They come up. So, yeah, and that paper goes out through, like, you know, these little kiosks they have where you have a free paper. You know, they have that in people's stores, you know, they'll have, and just little stands. And that way it goes out for free. Oh, my goodness. At least 5,000. Yeah, and they go. Right, right. Right, right. Yeah, it's kind of, you know, ever since Back to Godhead stopped going out on the street, we need something like that that can, you know, attract people. And so it's Mahatattva's idea. And he's got a lot of, he's got a crew working on it. It's nice. Any other questions? Comments? I'm not sure what the schedule is. Should I? All right. I'll end with a little poem, if you'll forgive me. And let's see. You know, there's an injunction where they have Madhuram Samarpayet. Have you ever heard of that? Where, like, there may be some play or some presentation, but at the end there should be something sweet. You know, it's send you just like at the end of a, you know, you have like dessert. So I have a few of those. This is one that I was sharing with the boys. You probably haven't heard it, at least for a while. It's about the holy name. It's written by Raghunath Das Goswami and his Stavavali. And somehow I was inspired some years ago to write a poem on the basis of it. So he says there, Radheti Nama Navasundara Sidu Mugdham. Krishneti Nama Madhurabhuta Gara Dugdham. Sarvakshanam Sudabiraga Himena Ramyam Kritvata Daiva Pibame Rasane Chudarte. An excellent fresh nectar drink with endless subtle tastes, such as the name of Radha, by whom all three worlds are graced. Condensed milk that is wonderfully delicious, thick and sweet, such as the name of Krishna, in whom all attractions meet. Now mix these drinks, O thirsty tongue, and add the cooling spice of love, a prize the wise will try to buy at any price. And then at every moment drink this beverage most fine, and make my heart supremely blissful, peaceful, and divine. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.